Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Alan Davis Show. I am Alan Davis, and like always, I'm coming to you live from my office in downtown Salt Lake City, Utah. I welcome you all out here tonight. We're hopefully going to have a really good show for you tonight. I've got a fantastic guest, Mr. Stephen Jacobson. I ran into Mr. Jacobson, and I really like what he had to say. He has a set of, Stephen Jacobson. He's an author of Mind Control in America. It's an audio series tapes and CDs. And he talks about television and the dangers in television. And the reason I was so interested in what he had to say, I don't watch a lot of television. I don't have a lot of time. But when I do watch television, I sit there and watch. And it just amazes me how much control the television has on how we think in America. I mean, you sit there and it almost tells you what to think. And I've always thought this. And, you know, maybe it's because I don't watch a lot of TV why it's so much more noticeable to me than it is to other people. And so when I first heard about Mr. Jacobson, I called him up and I really wanted to get him on the show because he's got a fantastic set of audio series tapes that, and he can explain them a whole lot better than me. He's got the expertise in the field. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce Mr. Stephen Jacobson. Mr. Stephen Jacobson, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Alan. It's my pleasure to be with you, particularly to talk about such an important topic, something that affects each and every one of us, whether we are consciously aware of it or not. The issue of mind control and mental manipulation, of which television is a major part.
Yes, and I agree with you 100%. I'd like to first just kind of get right to the point. How did you get into this? I mean, what made you decide to get into this? What's your expertise?
Well, that's a good place to start, and that is at the beginning. My background is in media. I studied film at Boston University. I worked in the film industry for about 13 years in different capacities, primarily as a film editor. And working as a film editor, it was easy to see how simple it is to change the meaning of an event or change the meaning of what someone says through simple editing. And so I was very well aware of how plastic and moldable media reality is. However, I didn't fully appreciate the extent to which we are all manipulated and controlled by the media, including those people who work in it, until I was given the results of private medical research investigating programming and deprogramming, and that opened up my eyes. And I saw the implications as far as my work was concerned. And this happened while I was working in New York City at the time, back in 1980. And it ultimately led to my leaving the career I was pursuing to investigate this whole issue of mind control and mental manipulation. But I had questions even before I had any interest or thought about working in the media. I had questions going back to childhood. I can remember being all the way back to 5 years old and having questions. I didn't understand the world I found myself in. I didn't know what was going on here. And going to public education, and the question I had for myself was, how do I know what they are telling me is true? And I didn't have an answer for that. I had to give back what I was receiving in order to get a good grade and academic future capacity to earn a living is dependent on our giving back, regurgitating what we receive in public education. And I went through high school, the entire system that way, wondering what is really going on. Go through college that way, get out of college and into the workplace, and I still had the same questions. Something was missing. A lot was missing, and I didn't know what it was. I knew something was wrong, and I didn't know I didn't know what to do about it. And so when I received this information, it was an opportunity for me to say, it's up to me to educate myself. And that's exactly what I did. At the same time I received this research, I was given several books that dealt with the conspiracy theory of history, and saw that it was no theory, that it was an actuality. You may be familiar with, and many of your listeners might be familiar with, the classic by Gary Allen called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. That was one book, and another was a small booklet called The Occult Technology of Power. And I began, after I read these books, they had an extensive bibliography, and I started getting the books. And I wanted to investigate, see what was out here and available in alternative media on all kinds of subjects, history, politics, economics, religion, psychology. I wanted to see what was available that didn't have access to in regular information channels. And that's how it began. I wanted to educate myself, and then, two, I wanted to take the training and the education and skills developed over the years and produce summary information, educational materials that would be helpful to other people who didn't have the time or inclination to do the research themselves. And so that's how the Mind Control in America audio series came about, my quest for understanding and then to share that information with other people.
Well, that's great. Well, I'd like to remind everybody out there, remind all of our listeners, this is a call-in show, and if you've got a question for myself or Mr. Jacobson, please pick up the phone and dial 530-413-4511. That's 530-413-4511. And again, so Mr. Jacobson.
Mister. Just call me Stephen.
Okay, Stephen. Okay, Stephen. How persuasive is mind control in America?
Well, you know, it's the mind control issue is a problem that's been with mankind for a very long time. We were born into a system of lies and deception that has become already had become a part of the social framework of society, and so we were born into this, and certain things are accepted as a matter of habit. People generally don't think about the things that affect them subconsciously. They don't usually know what to look for until these things are pointed out to them, and then it can be recognized and understood. The fundamental problem that we're facing is that we live in a virtual reality. We live in a controlled environment where very few people realize the extent to which we are manipulated and controlled by unseen forces. In fact, our society is the most manipulated and controlled society in history because of the programming and conditioning we all undergo through the mass media and public education. And I'm sure you're familiar with, and your listeners are familiar with, the book 1984 by George Orwell, where he warned that people were in danger of losing their freedom of mind without being aware of it while it was happening because of psychological, emotional, and intellectual manipulation. In other words, mind control. And that world of 1984 arrived unnoticed in America and elsewhere, because people were conditioned not to notice. Well, our talking about it is to bring it to the attention of your listeners so that they will look at the media in a very different way after having heard the program than they were looking at it prior to the program. Now, people don't give much thought to why they believe some of the things that they do. A lot of things are accepted as true simply as a result of habit, and people don't question it. And in fact, when information is presented by a trusted source, people have a tendency to accept the information, even if they don't understand it. And so people can be led to believe something that is not true when that information is carefully timed and presented by an accepted and respected authority and repeated over and over and over again until it's believed. Now, the most successful propaganda uses the arts as a delivery system. Now, the population, especially young people, accept unquestioningly the reality that is presented by the media. Popular culture, the movies, TV, music, they carry messages about how society works and how people should behave. And so entertainment is not value-free. It has ideological content and presents a worldview that influences the people who are watching the programming. In fact, entertainment is not just entertainment. It's also propaganda. The media, all of it, all mass media, it's propaganda. It's a matter of what is the intent behind it. Is it meant to uplift society? Is it meant for the highest good of the population? Or is something else occurring? Is it being used as a means of deception and deceiving and manipulating the population? And so it's all propaganda. It's a matter of, is it meant for people's benefit, or is something? Is there an ulterior motive that is for the benefit of a few? And that's the determining factor of what the effect is going to be. What became very apparent to me while I was working in media is that whoever's paying the bills has a point of view that they want to get across. And the objective for all propaganda, whether it's coming from an advertiser or government or a propagandist or corporate propagandist, the whole point of programming, and this is why the networks, they all have programming departments, the music industry, they all have programming departments, because that's what they're doing, they're programming the population. The whole point of programming is to build into the population a conditioned response. And so the first objective for a propagandist or an advertiser is to create the circumstances that are going to induce a state of mind that is favorable to the reception of their message. And that state of mind happens to be the hypnotic state of mind. It's in that state of mind where we are the most suggestible and the most susceptible to manipulation and vulnerable to it than at any other time. And so that's the first step in programming, is to create the circumstances that are going to induce that state of mind. There are two primary means by which the population is manipulated and controlled. One is very basic and fundamental, and that is through the control of information. If we don't have all the facts on any given subject, then our judgment can only be as good as the quality of our information. And if we don't have all the information we need, if we're giving half-truths and erroneous information, then there are going to be big holes in our understanding, because we're not dealing with all the information at hand. And very often that's the case. And a situation has developed in the communications media where the consolidation of ownership has gone and been consolidated into fewer and fewer hands. That allows for the coordination of propaganda using all media designed to program and condition the population. Back in the 1980s, a book came out, I think it was 1983, called Media Monopoly. It was written by Ben Bagdikian, who was the former national editor at the Washington Post and dean of the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California at Berkeley. And in the first edition of this book, Media Monopoly, at that time, 50 corporations controlled most of America's media. And when the second edition of the book came out, 1988, the number shrank to 29. And each time there was an updated edition of the book, the number was less and less. And now we're at the point point where there are only a handful, five multinational corporations that are controlling all the information and entertainment choices that are available to the public. And it's not only a problem in the communications industry. In all industry, there has been this trend towards the consolidation of ownership so that the control on all of these segments of economic life are being controlled by fewer and fewer people. And in the case of the media, it's an extremely dangerous situation when we don't have all the information we need to understand the world in which we live. Now, that's one way, controlling information, very fundamental and basic. The other means is through manipulating people's mental states and how they process their information. If people are all uptight and stressed out and anxious and fearful, then that affects how we process our information and how we view the world. If we're all uptight, we're not going to see things clearly. We're going to see things through, we don't necessarily see things as they are. We see things as we are. And if we're all uptight, then that's going to be a screen through which we are viewing the world. If we're peaceful and comfortable within ourselves, regardless of what's happening in the outside world, then that is going to present a different vision, a different viewpoint. Now, in talking about the mind control issue, which is a pretty expansive issue, I look at it as an umbrella issue. Everything plugs in under it. To describe how it works, the principles involved, and the techniques used, I like to use television as an ideal example. Storytelling is the oldest means of transmitting information about how society works and what's right and wrong. There isn't much difference between primitive man sitting fixated in front of the flickering light of a campfire, not much difference from that, from modern man sitting fixated in front of the flickering light of a television, receiving information about how society works and what's right and wrong. And I'd go as far as to say that television is the most powerful weapon of psychological warfare in history. And I think that is so important that I'll repeat it, because it bears repeating to emphasize the point. Television is by far the most powerful weapon of psychological warfare in history. And yet, most people do not think of television as a weapon because it has become a member of the family in so many households across the nation. For many people, it's the primary source of news, information, entertainment. After a hard day's work, many people come home tired. They plop themselves down on their favorite easy chair or sofa. They reach for the remote control, turn on the TV, and the mind goes on hold. And that's where the problem is. Now, if you think back to when you have observed young children or older adults watching television, you notice they have this glassy-eyed, faraway, vacant look in their eyes. And that's because they are in a hypnotic trance. And you can even catch yourself when you're watching television. You go into this zone where you lose all sense of time and place, and time just flitters by, and you're just there soaking up the information that's being projected at you. Well, that's the problem. The television induces a hypnotic state. It doesn't matter what you're watching. It's the nature of the medium itself. The television image, although it appears to be stationary, it's actually flickering. And the flicker effect induces the hypnotic state of mind. The hypnotic state of mind is a natural state. We go in and out of it throughout the day. The population has been hypnotized by the pressures of life, and add to it for many techniques used to deepen that state of mind where we're vulnerable to all kinds of manipulation. And again, this is the first objective of a propagandist or an advertiser, is to throw us, create the circumstances where that state of mind is going to be induced. Television does it automatically. It literally plugs into our nervous system. If you think back to when you have seen a young child sitting in front of a TV, you never heard about attention deficit disorder prior to television. What happens is that a child watching TV can sit motionless while watching the TV, and then when the TV is not on, they have all this nervous energy, the jittery, they can't focus their attention. It's because when watching television, it releases endorphins and alters brain chemistry. The quick-cutting patterns that were developed in TV commercials and music videos, changing from one camera angle to another, one scene to another, we've been educated, conditioned in how to look at the world as over a period of time, and the quick-cutting patterns, when changing from one scene to another, causes a corresponding chemical electrical response in the brain. It releases endorphins that have a drug-like effect on the body, so that literally a child is getting a drug-like fix from watching TV, and when they're away from TV, they're looking for that same kind of fix in other activities, and they're not getting it. And that's why this nervous energy and the disorder, attention deficit disorder. Now, the hypnosis is based on focusing the attention of the conscious mind on one or more of the five senses in order to clear the mind of all thought. A hypnotist will use speaking voice and the pattern of speaking, like in a sing-song kind of pattern, to get to the subject to lock on to the sound of what he's saying and not pay attention to the actual content of what is being spoken, so that the content goes directly into the subconscious mind and with instructions. When we're watching something on TV, if you have the opportunity to think about it and make a decision about whether or not you're going to accept a piece of information, once you've made that decision, that's how it gets programmed in the memory banks of your subconscious. And whenever you're presented with that piece of information again, then you retrieve that piece of information. If you haven't made that determination, somebody else, propagandist, advertiser, can be delivering a message directly to your subconscious and adding to it an identification tag that can be triggered at a later date. And I'll give you an example of this that we all can relate to. In the form of a question, have you ever bought something and then later on wondered, why did you buy it? And I think we've all experienced that. And taken a step further, have you ever said or done something and then later wondered, well, why did I do that? Why did I say that? It's because of this mechanism having been activated. And so we're not in as much control over our thinking as we would like to believe. And I know that's a very unsettling thought to consider, but it's a fact. And it's important to that more and more people understand how the media, how important it is in creating a mindset in the population. It was known right from the very beginning of television, the powerful instrument that it was, its potential as a delivery system of propaganda and creating a mindset in the population. And it certainly has happened. So I didn't mean for that to be a lecture or long-winded. Any questions,
no.
Just jump right in there.
No, you're doing great. I really appreciate your information. This is valuable information. The thing that, you know, when I'm just watching TV and why you were so fascinating to me is, I mean, you've got expertise that tells us some of the subliminal and some of the stuff that they're deliberately doing. I mean, as far as like advertisers wanting to get us to buy certain products, but it's so much more dangerous than that because they can push agendas. I mean, this is an example of me. when I was young, I mean, and I, and everybody knows my show sometimes can be a little bit controversial, but there was a something my wife caught on to here a while back is we were watching the news. And I think not only how they say it or what they're saying, but how they say it determines how you believe. I don't know how to put it. I'm not as intelligent as you are, but here we go. This is what we're sitting there watching the news one day, and they're talking about, I'm from Utah, that they're saying that Utah is looked at as going to be one of the last states in this country to accept gay marriage. But then they go in and say that statistics show that we're going to be one of the first states to accept for gay marriage. And this is one time my wife caught this. They never, ever mention, is it going to pass? They tell you it is going to. And so in your subconscious, people are understanding this. People are no longer, they've just taken the decision out of it. Now people have been told that we're going to have gay marriage, so there's going to be gay marriage. And that's just pushing one agenda. But when you're talking about political agendas with and what goes on in the world, 9/11, they tell you what happened in 9/11, and you believe everything that's told to you because it's told to you on the news over and over and over again. And you don't know if you're being told the truth or not. And I guess, and when you say you've got so few media outlets that are controlling everything, and you look at the mainstream media, I don't think it's by accident that Rush Limbaugh is on every station in this country. He is putting a message out that the powers that be want you to hear. Same with Sean Hannity. And these guys are great broadcasters. They're very talented people. I think they're extremely one-sided, and they push their opinion. But they have so much power over how the American people think. What we see on TV, what we see as entertainment out there, and this is what drives me crazy. When we watch a television show and we see our favorite characters that are, I mean, these characters are making us laugh. And they're entertaining us. They're not just making us laugh. They're not just entertaining us. What they're doing, they're programming us. The media is programming us, and that's what's so frustrating. But anyway, I'm going off on a rant here, and we're here to let you get your message across. So anyway, I mean, so this is what I want to know: is there subliminal messages in media, and is subliminal messages against the law?
It's part use of subliminal messages. It's part of our everyday life. We're constantly assaulted by it. Now, for any of your listeners who may not be familiar with what it is, briefly, subliminal perception is the process whereby we receive and respond to visual and sound information without being aware of it. Now, the message can be in the form of printed words, pictures, or voices, presented either so rapidly or faintly that we're not consciously aware of having seen or heard anything, and yet we are affected by it subconsciously. Now, this came out to public attention back in the 1950s. The book The Hidden Persuaders by Vance Packard revealed for the first time that American industry was investigating the use of subliminal technology to influence the public to buy the product. At the same time was the famous test in a New Jersey movie theater projecting a subliminal message in an ad projected during a movie. The message is "Hungry, eat popcorn and drink Coca-Cola" were flashed on the screen at 1/3,000th of a second every 5 seconds during the movie, and sales increased for both popcorn and Coca-Cola. And there was a public outcry at the time, and rightly so, because here was technology that was being used to influence people without their conscious awareness. And that's the ultimate control is to control people without their conscious awareness. And so it was recognized, the dangers were recognized, Congress got involved. There were hearings. There were even state legislatures. There were hearings and drafting of laws. But as often happens, we get distracted with other things over a period of time, and nothing happened. There were no laws. And even if there were, because of the nature of what we're talking about, the use of implanting of messages that you can't consciously see or hear, it would require physically inspecting every frame of film, every frame of video. It simply wouldn't be practical. You couldn't police it. And even if there were a law saying that you cannot use these subliminal messages. Civilization Magazine, which is the official publication of the Library of Congress back in the late 1990s, 97, 98, had an article admitting to the fact that subliminal messages are commonplace and an integral part of our everyday life. We're constantly assaulted by it, and we're affected by it, but we're not conscious of what it is because of the nature of the beast. We don't see it. It's been used. It's used in music. It's been used in movies. A famous example of its use in a movie, the movie The Exorcist, used both subliminal sounds and pictures throughout the movie to heighten the emotional impact of it. People actually fainted, had nightmares as a result of having seen the movie. Interestingly, that the author of the book and the producer of the movie, William Peter Blatty, was a CIA operative who served as the policy branch chief of the Psychological Warfare Division of the United States Air Force. And that piece of information wasn't hidden. That was on the flap of the book jacket of the hardcover copy of The Exorcist, admitting to William Peter Blatty's background. And there's long been this connection between the intelligence agencies and the communications media. The mass media is, in effect, the fourth branch of government. There has been this axis between Washington, New York, and Hollywood because of the importance of the media in psychologically conditioning the public for whatever the powers that be want to soften up the public and guide them to a foregone to do their bidding. What happens is that what's called the media is used in kind of a twin pincer kind of movement, applying pressure to the population. On the one hand, we're manipulated with being spoon-fed information, control of information, and then the manipulation of our mental states on one side. On the other side, the manipulation of economic factors to produce pressure on the population so that people don't know if they're coming or going and can't think clearly because they're all stressed out. And amidst this, while this is happening, the use of the Hegelian dialectic, which is a process of a crisis management. In other words, problems are created intentionally and then crisis managed to a predetermined resolution that oftentimes has legislation attached to it that is designed to restrict individual rights and freedoms and get laws passed. That media has long been used as an instrument, a coordinated instrument, to inform, educate, and manipulate and lead to encourage the public to demand what government has decided that it wants to do anyway but can't without having some kind of a softening up process to psychologically condition the population to what they want to do. Now, in the case of television and the impact that it has on the public, and you brought up the news broadcaster, which is examples of hypnotic techniques as they apply to the broadcast news. Now, you have the flicker effect of the TV that's inducing the repetitive pattern induces hypnosis. Any repetitive pattern, whether it's a sound pattern, a visual pattern, we lock onto it, like flashing words, flashing numbers in a commercial. A repetitive pattern is designed to capture the attention of our eyes, get the eyes focused on it so that it will clear the mind of all thought or deepen that state of mind that is very similar to daydreaming, which is the hypnotic state of mind. If you think about it, the newscaster, whether it doesn't matter if they're black, white, oriental, Hispanic, they all pretty much sound alike. They have a speech pattern. The newscaster has a speech pattern that is very similar to a hypnotist. The eye contact that's made with the viewer, the news broadcaster looks directly into the camera and into the eyes of the viewer, another hypnotic technique. The news broadcaster is an authority figure, which encourages acceptance of the message for that fact alone. And then, at the beginning of your newscast, you have a jingle, musical theme, that's a repetitive pattern. You have moving graphics. All these things are meant to maintain and deepen that trance state so that the information that the public is receiving will be received and accepted and then acted upon according to whatever triggers are built in or based on what government power and so-called powers that be want the effect to be of all that. But what it's demonstrating is that the public has been programmed and conditioned to accept the format of the news broadcast as the means by which we receive true factual information. Now, we were conditioned by this even before the advent of television, through radio and the radio news broadcast. An example of this would be the famous broadcast of War of the Worlds by a dramatization of H.G. Wells' book War of the Worlds by Orson Welles. It was adapted for radio, done as a news broadcast, and it caused panic in this country. People actually thought that New Jersey was being invaded by Martians, and it caused panic. Had your news broadcaster, your anchor person, the reporters out in the field, outside experts were brought in to comment on what was being reported, and in spite of the fact that there were disclaimers at the beginning and throughout the broadcast saying that it was a dramatization, people still thought it was for real because the population had already been conditioned to accept the format of the news broadcast as the means by which we receive true factual information. And there was a big brouhaha over it, rightly so, because the public was misled, and it died down after a period of time. Incidentally, and this happened in 1938. About 11 years later, in 1949, War of the Worlds was performed as a news broadcast again, this time in Ecuador. Caused greater panic than it did in this country. However, when the public discovered that it was a fake news broadcast, they went and burned the radio station down to the ground. And you can understand why they were upset, because of the manipulation. But it does point out that the population has been programmed, conditioned to a format, and accept information. And today, people, they see things on television, and they accept it as being true because they saw it on television. There was another example of this. There was a movie called Special Bulletin, 1983. It came out, and it was a made-for-TV movie, It was about the detonation of a nuclear device in Charleston, South Carolina, and people thought it was real because it was done as a news broadcast. So I don't think these things were by accident. These were tests to see, engage, measure the public response to it, and it only shows that how susceptible we are to manipulation by the so-called news. The so-called news, looking at its history, how it came about, the news broadcast, it goes back to, well, you have the radio news broadcast, and before television, you had in the movie theaters the old newsreels, the Pathé News and the March of Time newsreels, which preceded the main feature of your theatrical fiction film. And in this so-called news footage, these newsreels were replete with using impersonators of celebrities, impersonators of public figures. Stories were staged. And this is the history out of which the news program comes from. This is its history. So, again, if what we're seeing on the news isn't necessarily the truth. What it is presenting is information and a particular point of view that the powers, that the hidden powers that behind government and industry may have a particular mindset that they want to lull the public in, and these are the mechanics of how they go about using it, using the media, using entertainment. It's a very innocuous way so many people think, exercising influence without people being aware of it. And it just shows how important the arts are. This is how information, truths have been transmitted from one generation to the next, explaining and showing what's acceptable and unacceptable behavior. The origin of all this goes back to religion and the use of the arts and getting across religious truths, either in the form of plays, theater, music, and literature. So it's mentioned earlier, it's all propaganda. It's whether the determining factor is it good or bad? Is it for the good of for the population, or is something else going on there?
Okay, now, Stephen, I'd just like to ask you real quick. You know, you've talked a lot.
Hello?
Are you there?
Yes, I thought I'd lost you.
As far as things go, what do you see that's happening? See that the general public has been manipulated in the media, either on television or on the news, that you feel maybe they've been manipulated. Is there anything in particular that comes to mind?
Oh, gee, it's you name it. Everything. Everything. You take 9/11. You take economic situation. When we had. You remember years ago, you had the rash of the school shootings, at the same time, the call for more and more restrictions on guns. And that wasn't by accident. When there are a rash of whether it be school shootings or shootings in the workplace, then there is a call for more and more restrictions on individual freedoms, liberties. What's happening with at the airports and with the TSA and the pat downs and the use of equipment to look to see if people are carrying anything. The effectiveness of the body scanners that are showing up in the airports is already known to be false, and phony. They don't work. The military scrapped those kind of things in Iraq. They use dogs, bomb-sniffing dogs, dogs that can sniff out thousands and thousands of different combinations of explosives. This is what the military uses. So if the military is using that, that has only cost something like $8,500 to train a dog, and these scanning devices that they want to put in all the airports, they cost more than $150,000 each, and they don't work. But former head of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, represents one of the companies that makes these, and so naturally he's touting that as a viable means of increasing security and safety, because he's getting a cut from it and enriching himself from it, and it's certainly not making the public safer. But what it is doing, it has a psychological effect on the public. This humiliation of being of young children and older adults being physically assaulted at the airports. It's creating a mindset in the population, and it's demoralizing for the population.
And Stephen, real quick, yeah. About the same subject. I'm sitting here thinking of what you're saying here, and I've been through them body scanners, and I don't like them at all. I try to go around them. Salt Lake City Airport, they've only got a few of them, but, you know, and those things have been, I'm looking at the media, and that's all over the media right now when they're talking about these scanners, but everything you're hearing about them is negative. Is it because they don't want the scanners in there, and they're going to eventually get rid of them after they've spent all this money to putting them in there? Because they've got a really a bad rap. And I know with other things, you know, you talk about guns and stuff like that, where they in the media talk about guns so negatively, everybody becomes afraid of guns. The economy is one thing that really kind of gets me. My business is in sales, and I've noticed a big increase in business over the past 6 months simply because the media has been reporting that the economy is starting to recover. Here, a year ago, they were spinning a bad economy every possible way they could spin it. They were talking the family's pets impact, the impact the economy has on our family pets, and the impact the economy has on everything. So everybody was so pounded in their head, we had a bad economy. People were afraid to go out and buy stuff. And that was affecting the economy, because if people are not buying, they're not buying. But now I see it's changing. And as I'm seeing the news change and we start talking about a better economy, I see my business increasing. And so I'm looking at this Homeland Security, and I'm kind of wondering, why ain't they spinning that as a good thing? Why is the media spinning that as a bad thing? I'm kind of wondering, do they have another agenda? Do they want to get rid of them? Do they want us to go through some other type of system in the future? I can't figure that one out. But anyway, I'll go ahead and let you finish.
Well, it's to keep us off balance. And the economy, the fundamental problem with the economy is that it's dishonest. And because it's dishonest, it has corrupted all segments of society. What society uses is a medium of exchange. It's the lifeblood. Money's the lifeblood of all commerce. But it's basically just a transportation system to facilitate the orderly transportation of goods and providing of services. But the fact that it is based on a fundamental dishonesty, that has to be addressed before anything else can be fixed. And frankly, we're not going to fix the problems that we face with Band-Aid piecemeal measures. We're going to look at what is the foundation of the problem? What is the very core of the problem? And that lies in a different realm. The mind control issue is first and foremost a spiritual issue. The mind is the gateway to the soul. That's why there's a mind control issue. It manifests itself in many different ways in the material world, but the fundamental problem, it's a spiritual problem. basic problem for mankind is that people have misidentified themselves as the physical body. And when you think that that's what you are, which we're not, I mean, we have a body, but it's not who we are, but many people think that that's who they are, the body, and that when the body that is subject to damage and subject to death, which makes people fearful. And when people are afraid, they are vulnerable to manipulation, especially when people are subjected to intense stress and tension, anxiety, fear over a long period of time, then they're even more susceptible to manipulation. And the basic issue is a spiritual issue. We're spiritual beings. And we don't know enough about the situation that we find ourselves in. We don't know enough about who and what we are. We're not asking the right questions. We've been misdirected that the purpose of life is to gratify the senses of the physical body. Whoever gets the most toys wins the game of life. And so people have been sold this bill of goods that you're only here for a limited period of time. And so you do the best you can to get as much as you can while you're here. People have lost sight that there's a purpose and objective to our being here, and that is to resolve the riddles of life. But before I go any further, since we're getting closer to the end of the program, I would want your listeners to know about the audios that are available at my website, which is mindcontrolinamerica.com. So www.mindcontrolinamerica.com. The first audio, they're available as CDs, compact discs, or as audio cassettes for the older generation that still has audio cassettes. I know younger people don't even know what one of those is, perhaps. But it is available both on a CD and cassette. Mind Control in America is a summary of the mind control issue, defining the principles involved, describing the techniques, giving examples for the listener to hear so that the listener has a frame of reference to recognize these techniques when they observe them being used. And I also use the techniques I talk about to illustrate them so that the listener has that as a frame of reference. They are full production with music and sound effects, a lot of information there. It's meant to be listened to more than once. Mind Control in America was followed by an audio called Wake Up America, also about the mind control issue, but as it applies to money and economics, because psychological warfare and economic warfare work together to apply pressure to the population. And there is a third audio available, called Personal Comfort Training. Now, that was developed by my father. My father was a hypnotist and a counselor and a therapist. He was involved in doing research and a consultant to the medical profession for more than 20 years. Over a period of 11 years, he developed an audio. It was called Personal Comfort Training, that doctors at one time wrote prescriptions for their patients to have this audio to aid in the treatment of different health problems, physical problems, pain, control pain, where medication wasn't helping, people suffering from insomnia, people with respiratory ailments who had emphysema, asthma, or maybe only one lung and limited breathing capacity. The audio was designed to help people rediscover what we learn and know as children, and that is how to be comfortable and relaxed. Breathing pattern for most people is very shallow. We don't oxygenate blood as effectively as we could, and because of we're not using a full breathing apparatus. So the audio was a training program to help the listener identify more relaxed levels of mind in order to function in those for extended periods of time and know what it feels like so you could enter them at will. And the verbal content is a deprogramming a program to give directions to the subconscious to aid and facilitate a health-based program to dissolve, dissipate the negative programming and conditioning that we've acquired throughout our life and replace it with a positive health-based program. There's information on the website about all these audios and different packages to order. And again, the website is mindcontrolinamerica.com, has all the information on there and address, and or if you want to order online with a credit card, there's the store page, deprogramming center page, with all of that information on it. And I'm currently working on the next audio to round out the package. The Mind Control in America places, that audio places the whole issue into context, perspective, historical perspective, and also spiritual perspective. And the audio I'm currently working on deals with the spiritual foundation of the problem and what to do about it. And that's really where the real action is, because when all the answers that we need are within us. Everyone's looking outside of themselves for answers, and they're inside, and the only way we can hear that is to quiet the mind, and in silence we can be taught, and the real knowledge is realized knowledge, knowledge that's revealed from within. What we have become accustomed to considering knowledge is this learned ignorance that we get out in the world and so-called higher education. It's just it's information that's posing as facts, secondhand information that's filling our minds up with programming and conditioning and with what the powers that be wish us to think. We're not really taught how to think. We're taught what to think. And so the solution lies within each and every one of us. It's not a hopeless situation. And in fact, it's a very hopeful one because things, although they may appear to be getting worse, and in some cases they are, often things have gotten so out of whack that an adjustment has to be made, and things need to be set right, and we can do it. We have the capability of doing it. It begins with education. That's the first step, and that's why I've spent the time that I have to try to understand things for myself and to share the information, and that's available on the website and the CDs, and the information again is on the website mindcontrolinamerica.com.
And well, Stephen, hey, I really appreciate your coming on my show tonight. The information you have, you need to be out broadcasting this on every radio station out there. I just don't think people understand just how they're being controlled, how their thoughts are being controlled, how their belief systems are being controlled. And you have this information. So if anybody out there has any wants any more information, please go to Mr. Jacobson's website and buy his CDs. And like I said, I really want to thank you for coming on my show tonight. And I look forward to possibly having you on again when you get your new CDs out, giving you the time to talk about them and put them out there. And but anyway, I'm going to let you go. The show's about coming to an end. My next show is on December 23rd. You're going to have to watch the website to see what it's about. You know, it's getting close to Christmas, and so we may have some type of a Christmas theme. I don't know. But anyway, I'd like to thank Mr. Stephen Jacobson tonight and BBS Radio for having us on. And thanks very much. You guys have a wonderful night. We're out.